Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. Podcast where we wax poetic about giving up more points in a football loss than we do in a basketball loss tonight. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. Was it that bad?
It was disgusting.
I did note that, of course, the game we're talking about is the Kansas State game that just ended maybe not quite an hour ago here on Tuesday night, January 22nd, where your Red Raiders managed a whopping 45 points, which is by far the lowest they've scored all season. They had 58 against Duke, and then inexplicably only 59 against Southeastern Louisiana, which I remember that game. That was just kind of a weird game all around. But up until tonight, they'd at least gotten in the 50s in every single game.
And that those last 2 points were scored with like 30 seconds to go. You were stuck at 43 for like, 5 minutes. There was these past three losses have been basically defined by ridiculously long stretches where you don't score a field goal. You'll score some points by shooting free throws. Tonight, I think the longest stretch was like 9.5 minutes.
I think there were a couple. Wasn't there a seven?
There was another 6 or 7 minute one in the second half. This past weekend when you lost to Baylor, there was at least one that was like 8 minutes long.
Well, I know to close out the half, Baylor went on a 23-8 run to close out the first half.
That's a 15-point swing.
Yep. That'll hurt you.
I can do math.
That's quick. That's quick, man.
Yeah. It's small numbers. I'm okay. But before we get into that, I don't want to – this may be a shorter episode tonight. We'll see.
I think we've said that before, and then...
Yeah. Okay. I can guarantee it'll be shorter than last week's 2.5-hour marathon. I was going to say with Keith, but then I didn't want to seem like that was... That seemed overly adult-themed.
Oh, come on. It wasn't till you said it was. Anyway, shout out to Keith.
What up?
Over there at Dinger_Derby on Twitter.
Getting closer to the big January 31st first episode release.
Debut episode
in 9 days.
Yeah. To go over everything Texas Tech baseball. He's going to have some interviews, some former players come on. He's got a pretty good lineup set. So get him in your podcatchers.
Going to have better interviews than we ever had. What are we going to do?
It's fair.
We will talk some baseball, even though we're going to leave most of that to Keith at Dinger Derby. We will talk about football, although there's really only like one bit of news from Tech football. There's other football-related things that happened this weekend that we'll touch on. And then basketball.
That may be short.
And cry and commiserate. So we actually have three intro topics. We need to move through them quickly. First off, those that are followers of McDonald on the Twitter, notice there was a change this weekend. He's now claiming to influencer status.
Correct. I've seen the Fire documentary, the Fire Festival documentary on Hulu. I've yet to see the one on Netflix.
I don't even know what that is.
Fire Festival?
Nope. No idea.
Wow. Okay, Fyre Festival occurred, I believe it was 2 years ago, and it was supposed to be this big Coachella-like event. Spencer's showing off his hashtag Hair Raid shirt from the Rob Bro Show, also friend of the show. Check him out.
Friend of the show, Rob Bro.
Talk 1340, 9 to 11 a.m. Anyway, the Fyre Festival was supposed to be this big outdoor music festival. All these great bands were coming. It was going to be at an exclusive place in the Caribbean, its own island that supposedly Pablo Escobar owned previously.
There was Pablo.
There was all this lead up to it. This guy that started it was...
Excuse me, was that unprofessional?
I didn't hear enough ice clinking in that glass. Hang on. Try it again. We need to put it in a Yeti.
It's because it's so full.
We need to get the stainless steel to get that. Oh, that's just great. That's Diet Dr. Pepper surround sound.
For those of you that are familiar with the ASMR movement, there you go. Sorry, go on.
All right, I'm going to brush the mic for a while. No, we've got the Fyre Festival was, it turned out to be just a huge scam, basically.
No.
You can argue that the guy that tried to start it with Ja Rule is had good intentions, but I don't know if he ever truly thought he could pull this off, because it was about 5 or 6 months before the date that they said, hey, we should have Fyre Festival. And then they had no infrastructure, no ability to have people. They were selling tickets for $50,000 to cover costs that, right, you know, other people he needed to pay. It was basically kind of like a Ponzi scheme. He was getting money from investors and other people to pay people he owed money that he'd already spent elsewhere, and on and on. Anyway, what the reason it got so popular is because this social media group was hired by the guys putting on the festival to contact all these quote unquote influencers on Instagram. And these influencers, quote unquote, were to tweet about the Fyre Festival and how great it was going to be. And a lot of them are Instagram models and guys that review random stuff that somehow have millions of followers. And there was one quote saying that Kendall Jenner could get upwards to $250,000 per Instagram post if she's asked to do it for a product.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, I agree. So I thought, well, one of these guys that was on the Hulu documentary, he just kind of, he branded himself as an influencer and just went with it. And somehow he got to be a part of this thing and went to the Fyre Festival and all that. And he just kind of seemed like a normal guy. I thought, well, now if it's that simple, as of Sunday, I rebranded myself as an influencer, hashtag influencer. If you
and
need,
your new Twitter handle is?
The influencer has logged on.
Which is true. Every time you're on Twitter,
I'm there.
Technically, the influencer has logged on.
There's been very few tweets since Sunday because hashtag no free tweets.
So you're trying to sell your tweet platform.
Yes.
Your voice.
My voice, my followers, my following. Anyone who would like to be a part of this, contact me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Me at LSRR07. I probably should have said that to start. That's not really good influencer.
So what's the ad value of the podcast? The hour and a half that we're probably going to talk tonight.
Oh, I'm not quite sure.
What do we need to charge Texas Tech for this? Like season football tickets in a suite, you think?
I'm thinking so. I think we need...
For both of us, just because...
Well, I think we need tickets in a suite and on the 50-yard line, just so that we can...
Middle of the field, yeah.
We can take our pick if it's a nice day.
So like one of those seats that... Like the club seats that can go inside or outside?
No. I'm talking like we have... Like a row on the 50-yard line that we could go sit at, or we could go up to the suite.
I get you.
You know, either or. No big deal.
Okay. So what have been some of your initial influencer, some of your early influencer content?
I have endorsed Rob Rowe.
Solid.
There's been no financial exchange just yet, but we're working through the process. I've also endorsed Great Value products.
So you're going to invoice Walmart, Sam
that's
Walton?
That's the plan.
Directly,
that's the plan.
Hey man, look, man. I've been
times are tough.
I've been your greatest advocate here.
I've also endorsed in Bluebell.
You've done that before?
Haven't heard back from them yet.
So does this work out where like you just endorse something and you give them your stamp and then you send them an invoice? So like, say we wanted to pick up a sponsor, we just start talking about them and then we send them a bill.
That remains to be seen. We're still in the infancy stages of influencer status and how it works.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
I just really figured that as soon as I declared myself as such,
sweet one.
That people would just start throwing money at me. And that hasn't happened. So I'm not quite sure what I'm doing wrong. I think I even had one new follower.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah.
Just one?
Yeah, isn't that
I get
crazy?
Like one a day.
Oh.
Well, excuse me, the podcast account is growing. Let's give you
Well, because of that tweet I had.
Probably. So, granted, we follow 885 accounts.
True.
And that was a little bit of a gamesmanship when we first started the podcast to get some follow backs. Our follower count currently, when we first started, it was like in the 200s. We currently have 547 followers.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, yes. On a serious note, thank you for following the podcast. But our influencer, what's that rating called where they do like an influencer rating and it's... I'm going to remember this like in 30 minutes.
And you're just going to shout it.
I am. I know what it is. Excuse me. Anyways, the podcast account is growing.
Well, I'd like to do a couple more things I influenced.
Oh, excuse me, please.
Come on. I've got to get this brand going. Okay. I influenced Staking the Plains. Follow at Staking the Plain. Of course... This podcast, Dinger Derby, of course, Rob Rowe Show, also Evie Mays, which I went to visit on Saturday. It was delicious.
I need to go.
Also The Shack.
The Shack is good.
Also Caprock Cafe.
Duh.
And one of our personal favorites, not yours, I mean mine and my wife's, Craft House Gastropub. Love that place.
Overrated.
So I'm waiting to hear back, even though I didn't officially ask them for anything.
Well,
I'm currently drinking Llano Estacado. No, I'm not. Sorry. I'm currently drinking... No.
And the bottle's gone.
It's Caprock.
Oh.
Caprock Winery.
That's okay. But speaking of foods, there's something we need to talk about. We haven't...
No, it wasn't.
We haven't talked about...
It's Latiosa. No, it wasn't.
Oh, my gosh.
It's McPherson.
Wait.
I'm drinking McPherson.
Is it Pheasant Ridge?
It wasn't Pheasant Ridge.
Just name the last one out there.
No. It really is McPherson. Sorry, everyone.
As a self-proclaimed food podcast.
That's how you drink red wine.
We need to get back to our roots and talk about some food here. I don't remember where I heard it. That's a lie. I heard it on the radio. Excuse me. I had a little brain fart there for a second. We asked you guys an important question to settle the debate or to have your voice be heard. The official food of Texas. And... I guess technically there already is an official food of Texas. This was more of like, what do you think it should be? Not what is it?
Mm-hmm.
So I gave three options. Michael, you tell me if you disagree with these options. Barbecue.
That's solid.
Chili.
Okay.
Other.
But you also qualified other as
you're wrong.
As you're wrong. So that kind of got people off on the wrong foot. Would you like to
drew them off sides because there were a lot of other responses. They're like, meh.
There were some legit others. I can get on board with some of these others.
Yeah. So the results, 111 votes. So yeah, it's a good 20% of our following.
We've got 10 hours left, guys. Get your votes in.
I don't know how long I set it for. I guess it's
probably 24 hours. I think that's the
24 hours standard. 77% voted for barbecue.
Nice.
Is official food of Texas.
Out of these three choices, that was also my vote.
14% picked chili.
The current
official
food of Texas.
Official food of Texas. And 9% had other. And like I said, let me read off some of these others. There was steak.
Yeah. Steak's good. Beef steak.
Several weighed in and said Tex-Mex.
I really enjoy that as an option.
That probably it could have been an acceptable third answer outside of other, you're wrong.
I if Tex-Mex was on there, I would have really had trouble picking because that is truly a Texas border thing. And even chili probably has some roots in there here and there.
A bowl of red.
Yeah.
Yeah. This falls under Tex-Mex, but it was listed separately, very specifically, queso. I don't know if it's the official food of Texas. I don't think you go to Texas like, man, I'm going to have me some queso.
I think you would put that under the Tex-Mex umbrella, like you mentioned.
However, when you think about going like visiting Louisiana, man, when I go to Louisiana, I got to get me some queso. No. New Mexico? No. You know why? Because they put green chilies in it. It sucks.
That's a terrible take. Green chilies are delicious.
Whatever, dude.
You are in the minority there.
Dustin McNabb said, I would not feel right if I did not say Allsup's burrito, but he voted for barbecue.
Allsup's burrito, it has a lot of, man, it's a great one, Dustin. I am with you. You know how much I enjoy the Allsup's burrito, but it has too many roots in New Mexico. And that's no offense. That's not it's got the Zia basically as the logo. And I don't think we could allow that as Texans because nope. I know how Texans are typically.
Trevor Nelson weighed in. This was a subcategory of barbecue. He said the correct answer is brisket.
I agree with this, and I'd go one step further and say smoked brisket.
Yes.
Smoked brisket. I think the barbecue, out of the choices you gave, barbecue was the best option. Tex-Mex is up there. But if you're going to say barbecue, I think you should classify it, get to the meat of it, and say smoked brisket.
The beefy meat?
Yes. Get right to the meat of it.
All right.
Because that is really what Texas is known for, especially now with all the Travel Channel and
Pecan Lodge, Franklin's.
Yeah. Evie Mays.
All those
places.
The Shack, not Rudy's.
Hey, Rudy's is the best chain barbecue ever had.
Where does Dickie's fall?
Oh, Dickie's was terrible. Dickie's was overpriced too.
Yeah,
there's a reason they could not pay their rent on 98th Street, and employees showed up with doors locked. That's how that went down.
What about Max?
Max was pretty good. I think I should go back.
So I was with my son waiting in urgent care this weekend, and we were going through some pictures. So he's on the mend. He's fine.
I was about to say, okay, you kind of buried the lead there.
No, he's fine. He had viral pneumonia.
Oh.
So he's recovering nicely. He's on steroids, and he's an absolute psycho. He's on steroids.
It's a beast.
Yeah. We were going through old pictures, and I came across our trip to Max. I was like, I don't think I ever feel the need to go back.
I do want to go to, I think it's Bent Nail, which opened where the old Dickies was on 98th Street. That's Mesquite Smoked, which speaks to me as a
West Texas
Merkel Texan from back in the day. That's, you just had mesquite everywhere back home, and that was what people used to smoke barbecue.
Yeah. All right. My vote would have been for barbecue. Brisket, pulled pork, beef rib.
I think we should
kind of briskety.
Yeah, I think we should narrow it down. My vote, if in this order, because I think Tex-Mex is really legit.
It is. It was an oversight by my part not to include it.
I would go smoked brisket would get my number one vote, and then Tex-Mex would get number two, for sure. Because Tex-Mex,
You went barbecue. Like, you went a specific part of barbecue with brisket, but then you went with Tex-Mex.
Yes, I would bypass the umbrella of just barbecue. I would go smoked brisket, then Tex-Mex.
All of Tex-Mex, not like just like.
I don't think
smoked
so.
Smoked brisket, queso, or.
Well, how do you. There's too much Tex-Mex. And that is a great thing. I mean, what do you get? Like, nachos. I love nachos. Nachos is Tex-Mex. Crunchy tacos. Cheese enchiladas. I'm not sure if tamales are.
But those are darn good.
Right. So you really
couldn't figure out to say dang or darn. Sorry.
You get yourself in a bit of a bind trying to
pick
which Tex-Mex thing you would focus on.
And then is chili up there for you at all?
I enjoy chili, but no.
Okay.
It's good. I really like it. It's I think we've talked about it on here. Fall weather.
Yes.
That's as soon as that crisp air starts hitting October, sometimes like November.
Like today.
Yeah. You know,
since it was 75 yesterday and 35 today.
Today would have been a really good chili day, but so would have United makes a
really
good
smoking plate of cheese enchiladas.
Yes. Or United even makes like a chicken enchilada soup. That's pretty good.
So I'm not a big fan of like chicken Tex-Mex.
I think that would be considered Tex-Mex, right?
The weirdness of like the shredded chicken in a tortilla. Those two.
I can see
that. You have to bite into a tortilla, but then you have to like shred the chicken. Those two things don't go together.
You've got to get it pretty small,
and it's just
finely shredded.
It's just weird.
It doesn't bug me too much, but I get it.
Last intro topic before we get on to Texas Tech stuff. Has to do with the conference championship games this weekend. Is that what they're called?
AFC
and NFC.
Yep.
All right. This conversation obviously came out Sunday evening into Monday. If we had the opportunity, the chance to pass one new rule for the 2019-2020 season, so just one of these, which one would you do? Would you allow challenge and video review of pass interference, or would you change the overtime rules to allow both teams the opportunity to score?
I would change the overtime rules.
Irregardless of what the first team does.
I don't know how they would do it, but I would change the overtime rules, because as egregious as that non-call was in the Saints-Rams game, rarely does a non-call pass interference affect a game as much as
just the weird overtime.
Maybe having
rules.
Your MVP sit on the bench for 7 minutes.
But was that the NFL's fault, or was that the Bob Sutton's fault? And I only know his name because he got fired today. It was all they talked about.
Right.
The Chiefs defensive coordinator getting fired today.
Yeah.
So I think I would agree with you. I think I'd want to change the NFL overtime rules. There are two, I guess, scenarios or proposed changes, right? So there's one, I think it was Kyle Jacobson that threw this out. He said, do the coin flip, whatever. The first team takes the ball at the 50, they get one play. Wherever they get to on that one play, that's where the other team takes over. They get one play.
Yes, and then I think Ty, who is one of our friends with Kansas State, or a Kansas State fan, he remembered that there was an NCAA football game called Tug of War in like 07 or 08. That was exactly what Kyle was describing. And he said
maybe
it was a blast to play. He said it was a lot of fun to play, I don't know how much fun it would be to watch, But I can imagine it'd be so much fun because you're
because you got to think like
offense, defense, everyone's back and forth coming off the field. That'd be right. A heck of a thing to see.
So like if the first team gets down to like the 10, do you get super aggressive as the second offense coming on? Like we have to get those yards back, or you try to be really conservative? Because if you don't get any yards, like say you throw a deep pass and it's incomplete, you turn the ball over on the 10. Or he's like, you know what? We need to get like 15 yards here, push him back.
Yeah, what's the strategy involved with that?
Super cool. Or you go back to the kind of the current college overtime rules, but instead of giving the ball that's 25, you back him up to like the 40 or whatever. So you make him like the 40 would be a long field goal, or maybe the NFL, you push him up to 45 or something and give him the same kind of things as college. You know, you get... You know, there's no game clock. You've got one timeout.
Yeah.
You've got your standard downs to get to it.
And then the other team gets a chance.
Yeah, because say if you don't get any yardage, you can still attempt a field goal from there, which is 53 yards, which for NFL is long-ish, fairly long, but you would expect most teams to be able to make that, where I think in college, kicking a 42-yard field goal for college, is long-ish. You would still kind of expect your team to make it. So
I'm a little biased because I liked Peyton Manning quite a bit while he was playing. And I remember at least once with the Colts, and I think once with the Broncos, he was sidelined in a playoff game during overtime, just like Mahomes was, and they lost. So yeah. I think about that too, and it's not just influenced on this last week, but it's just hard to... It's fun that you got to win because only half your team got to play, I guess, or had to play.
So, you know what?
But like you said, the same argument that people were saying, well, you should have won in the fourth. You know, you had four quarters to win. Well, yeah.
Here's I think that the solution to get both of those proposed overtime rules... So we can see it. Go ahead and institute the 45-yard overtime into the NFL. The Pro Bowl, have them do like their skills competition, whatever. Have them do a game of tug of war like this. You get one play, the other team takes over. Do that at the Pro Bowl, which could be an interesting.
Maybe even do that just for a quarter,
or just because.
Or
you know what? Yeah. Like nobody really cares what their Pro Bowl is, except you know we're gonna be able to see Mahomes playing the Pro Bowl, which could be pretty cool. I heard a lot of people say, Texas Tech fans say, this is probably the first Pro Bowl I pay attention to, and it's only because of Mahomes.
I agree. And even then, it's still probably going to be passively because he'll play it at most a quarter, right? Don't they kind of space that out a little bit?
So think about the other AFC quarterbacks that could be there with him.
Well, who are they? They're on there, right?
I'm pretty sure it's Phillip Rivers. And yeah. Baker Mayfield. Do you think about Baker Mayfield and Pat Mahomes being on the sideline? I was going to say again, but that'd be false. They were never on the same team at the same time.
That's probably the only time they've been around each other, except for when they played in the NFL.
And then
you'd
be like, well, look, they're finally together.
Against each other in OU.
Ooh, 30 minutes. That was a good intro topic.
All right, we're moving on.
Moving on to baseball. As I promised, this will be short and sweet. There's... really not a whole lot of news. We're not doing any kind of big preview. We're going to leave that, like I said, to Keith and Dinger Derby when they launch next week. But today, two bits of news. Baseball America, one of the final preseason rankings came out for the team, listed Texas Tech at number 8 in their preseason poll. This is the lowest of the 4 that have been released so far, but you're still top 10. And then... D1 Baseball came out with their All-America teams. Unsurprisingly, Josh Young was named to the first team. Gabe Holt listed to the third team as an outfielder, which I think is kind of where we landed, where we would expect him to play most of his time in 2019. So there's baseball. What's your baseball update?
Baseball update.
That's all I got for you.
End of.
Let's talk some more football. First, let's do Texas Tech football. News not really released, but kind of leaking out today. news that was leaking today.
A lot of leaky news.
That
I hate leaky news.
The director of recruiting, and I'm blanking on her name, the one that Wells hired away from Charlie Strong, has left the program for, quote, personal reasons. It would appear she's reuniting with Charlie Strong at South Florida, I believe. Like I said, the only thing that we heard was personal reasons. Don't know what that means. Don't know what Michael's looking at.
I'm trying to find her name. It's terrible. I'm in our Slack chat trying to find her name, which is probably not the best place.
Which we I don't think we even said her name today.
I think you tweeted it.
So, other than that, no other Texas Tech news today or this week. Just that the recruiting period is picking up. You saw a bunch of offers to committed guys coming from Coach Cooks, your new safeties coach that came over from Oklahoma. A lot of those guys are committed that he recruited to Oklahoma, which is going to be kind of an interesting dynamic. You know, if it's one of those things where he negative recruited against Tech, I don't know how much they have to do that at Oklahoma, but what that pitch now sounds like coming from him at Texas Tech versus what it was when he was at Oklahoma. But there's some big name guys there that he's trying to flip.
Catherine Sawyer.
Yes. She's the director of recruiting, former director of recruiting for Texas Tech. Kind of a bad time as this last little push of the recruiting class is happening, since signing day is 2 weeks from tomorrow. To finalize the rest of your class, you still have a couple of guys that are committed that didn't sign with you that you would expect. And then, like I said, a bunch of offers have gone out to like high 3- and 4-star guys for this recruiting class because of Coach Cook. So really interested to see if there are any signing day flips that he's able to pull off. He being the coaching staff. Sorry, I looked at you and I was like, what am I saying? But then, as we kind of mentioned earlier, the Super Bowl has been set. After the conference championship games this weekend, we will not see Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl in his first full season as a starter, unfortunately.
Wow. What a crazy sentence to
and
have
to be,
said.
And to be upset
about it.
That he
was one game, possibly a coin flip, possibly one offsides play away from going to a Super Bowl the first season that he was handed the reins of a professional football team.
One roughing the passer call.
Oh, my gosh. That was one of the week. One third down stopped that couldn't freaking get in overtime. Yeah. 3rd and 10. Hey, I wonder what they're going to do. Tony Romo knew. Everyone else knew.
Dude, everybody's all over Romo's nuts.
Dude's good, man.
And here's the thing. What's really funny is, like, he'd be such a good coach. One, I don't think his recognition of plays would translate to be fast enough to be on the field, right? Like, I don't know how that would work.
Right. How could you communicate that to someone?
Like, as it's happening.
Yeah.
But he was going to make so much more money in the broadcast booth than he would in a coaching position.
Much less pressure. Great move. Great move by Romo.
He's going to get paid millions.
I'm going to throw this out there and see if anyone else thinks the same. Is Pat Mahomes a version of Tony Romo, but with a much better arm, obviously? I mean, that kind of goes without saying. I'm not criticizing Romo's arm, but it's kind of an elephant in the room if you don't mention Mahomes' arm at least a little bit. Could you see that? Because he's elusive in the same way that Romo was. He's not super fast just by measurables, but he gets away from defenders. He rolls away. He makes things happen. He makes a lot of reads.
I'm going to defer to your opinion here.
I'm just kind of throwing that out there. So I wonder if Romo kind of thinks, I've wondered that a few times when he's calling these Chiefs games, if he's like, man, if I had an arm like Mahomes, what I could have done, what could I have done with this arm? My goodness.
How many playoff games did Romo win?
I believe we're hovering around zero.
So he never won a playoff game?
I don't think so.
So Mahomes has already passed Romo. So I'm going to go ahead and just say no.
You know, he must have won one. I think he won one. Because the year that Dez caught it, they had a first round bye. And so they lost their only playoff game that year. So they had a first round bye. They didn't have to play a wild card. He may have won a wild card game or a divisional game. Gosh, when would that have been? Anyway, I did look up something else too.
Okay.
The Pro Bowl roster.
Yes.
Which does not include Baker Mayfield. Thank goodness.
But could you imagine him in like an exhibition setting?
It's going to happen. Just I really could see that happen.
Crotch grabbing and.
Oh, well, he might
showboating for
the Hawaiians. Is it in Hawaii still? I don't even know.
I don't think so.
Really? I thought it was. Okay. I'm going to scroll up and see. Oh, it's in Orlando. Yeah, you're right. You got to be kidding me. Okay.
Is it UCF Stadium? That really ridiculously small stadium for a venue like this?
This article doesn't say what stadium, but it just says...
Excuse me.
It does say Orlando. But as far as quarterback, you've got Pat Mahomes, of course. Phillip Rivers, as you mentioned. Tom Brady, who obviously won't be playing. Andrew Luck. And Deshaun Watson.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
What about on the NFC side?
NFC quarterbacks. Where am I? You have Drew Brees, who's available. Sorry, Saints fans. Jared Goff, who is unavailable. Aaron Rodgers, who cares. Mitchell Trubisky of the Bears.
Duh, Bears.
Yeah, well, they lost a really close playoff game this year, too. He's drafted the same class as Mahomes, gets a lot of comparisons. He's played really well this year. But, okay, let me look up Cowboys playoff wins because that's why people tune in.
To listen to us do research as we're doing this?
Uh-huh.
At least, you know, it's not like the radio where they're looking up something and it's... Hold on, let me see if I can do this without... It's like... I was like, dude, like, do you have a mic on your keyboard? Like, what the heck is happening?
You know, he has two playoff wins. 2015 against the Lions in wild card playoff game, and then 2009 against the Eagles in a wild card.
So Mahomes got half of what Tony Romo did in his first year as a starter. Nearly got a second. Nearly tied him.
I don't...
Could have passed him if they had a defense.
I don't like where
story
you're going
of Mahomes'
with this.
Life.
I don't like where you're going with this.
That dude. I mean, could you imagine, like, if Andy Reid and the Chiefs said, you know what, we're not drafting a single offensive player. We're only going after defense, which is a stupid move. But if they committed to building like an elite defense to go with Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey,
a decent defense.
Watkins.
Samuel. All right.
Let's get on to
what do we got next. Let's get to what we've been putting off. Oh no, you've got one more thing. What do you got on here? A little bit more Cowboys news.
Oh yes, Cowboys news. And this is more of a question. I don't know if it's even been talked about a whole lot. I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday. As the Cowboys are continuing to search for an offensive coordinator, it looks like they're looking internally to Kellen Moore. Raised eyebrow from Michael. He was the former backup to Romo. Maybe
yes,
like
he
got drafted out of Boise State like a decade ago.
Well, he played for the Lions for a while. I think he played for Detroit.
Sure.
And there may be a connection there because Kitna was on the Cowboys too, and he was on.
And
Kitna's
coming over as the quarterback coach to replace Moore. Which is kind of where this is picking up.
Wow, what a world. And Moore was at Boise State in college.
Yeah, he played Boise State. Kitna's coming from like Waxahachie High School.
Sounds.
Because here's the thing. I actually interviewed for a job in Waxahachie.
Is it Waxahachie or?
Yeah.
Waxahachie.
It's Wax. I promise.
Dadgummit, I've been saying Waxahachie my whole life. picture me rolling saying Waxahachie.
Like legit in the interview, they're gushing about having John Kitna as their high school coach. Like,
yeah, why not? That's pretty good.
That's not a selling point to me working here. I'm not going to go to a high school, some random high school football game. I'm close enough to my alma mater. I would be traveling back to Mesquite.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I wouldn't go to a game. Oh, because John Kitna's there.
I just thought that you might get the chance to work for him or something. I thought that was kind of the...
No. The interview was for a hospital there.
Oh.
Work in their marketing department.
Oh, so they were...
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it had nothing to do with it.
They were selling high school football as a reason to move to Waxahachie.
Waxahachie.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if the Cowboys do promote Kellen Moore to offensive coordinator, I don't even know what that would look like. It seems like a big stretch.
I found one guy who that was his upside. The guy for...
you don't know what you're getting. That's obviously a good thing.
The guy for SportsDayDFW.com.
Which is the Dallas Morning News.
Yeah, John... Gosh. You guys that follow the Cowboys are going to hate me for not knowing how to pronounce it. John Machota? M-A-C-H-O-T-A?
Machota.
Yeah. One of them. That was kind of his argument. Someone
Machode.
Someone asked, just moving on from that, why do you think the Cowboys are regarding Kellen Moore as one of their front runners as offensive coordinator? And he laid it out. He laid out his reasonings for it, and he said that, as you kind of scroll through it, he said that the Cowboys 2018 staff had Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan, Rod Marinelli in their top three positions. All three have been in the NFL for a long time. All three have strong convictions. They've seen their styles work for decades, but that also means decades of trends are out there for opponents to study. With Moore, no one knows what his offensive philosophy is, so it will be much more difficult to predict what the offense will do in certain situations.
Does Moore know what his offensive philosophy would be?
We don't. We don't know, that's for sure. The Cowboys have a tendency to I don't want to say regurgitate, but they have a tendency to hire from within, I guess, or advance from within or whatever you call it. Seems like there's like a rotating people that are there end up doing something, you know. That's how Garrett got there. Garrett played quarterback, then Garrett was a assistant coach, then Garrett was an OC, and then Garrett's the head coach, and it just kind of keeps, it's just kind of a cycle of, well, if you get in the right place and you don't do a terrible job, or at least finally terrible enough to get fired.
I was about to say, has Garrett not done a terrible job so far?
Of course not. He's probably got 10 years left.
Greatest coach alive.
He's got a very long leash, Mr. Garrett. But I think that that's just kind of the Cowboys, what they do. They have somebody in-house that they like, and then they'll promote them and then stand by them to the point of exhaustion. And then sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Yep. All right, let's talk some Texas Tech basketball.
Okay.
My first bullet point is now incorrect. It said 0-2. It's now 0-3.
We've had three games since our last recording. They churned them out.
Wednesday, Saturday, and Tuesday tonight, yep, right before we hit record.
All three losses.
I don't want to talk about it.
All three losses to teams. So
questions.
You should've beat.
First question came.
You're skipping the questions altogether. And that was basketball.
No, here's the most frustrating thing. These three losses very easily could have been wins. At the very least, you could have gone 2-1. I think the most acceptable loss would have been tonight had it not been that you only scored 45 points. You lose to Iowa State at home. You shouldn't have done that. You had them on the ropes. You just didn't have a way to close out the game. And with there being three games, I'm sorry, there's not going to be a whole lot of specific review here.
Yeah, we can't dive into all the details.
You lost at home to Iowa State, which is killer, because they're going to be in the top tier competing for the conference championship. It's going to be tough to get that game back. It's going to be the last game of the regular season when you go to Ames. With whatever is on the line there, it's going to be extremely difficult to win that game. You travel to Baylor and you just look completely inept. Baylor is trying to figure out who they are without their star guy, Tristan Clark. There it is. And then they shoot like 30 threes and make 28 of them.
Yeah.
And they're not a three-point shooting team. It was like,
I mean, they were on fire the week before against Oklahoma State, but they definitely picked up right where they left off. The most frustrating thing for me with that Baylor game was Tech kept overcompensating on the threes. They would have some guy just running blindly out to the three-point line anytime someone
It was almost was always there. Kyler Murray. Kyler Edwards. Oh, my gosh. And Kyler Edwards.
If it was Kyler Murray, he might have gotten to him. But
because it happened several times tonight too, there was,
and then they'd have a wide open layup in the middle to a big man cutting, who just tossed in. I don't even know if he would dribble.
Well, the other frustrating thing is like if the guy didn't get there to block, like he would just dribble once, sidestep the Tech defender racing at him,
and that was that,
and then have an open shot and sunk every single one of them. And then you lost tonight on the road at Kansas State. Which leading up to this game, you having gone 0-2 Kansas State on a 4-game win streak, you knew the trends were going in the wrong direction. Like it was going to be difficult enough for you to win this game on the road. Kansas State had won 4 straight. You had lost 2 straight and they led basically start to finish. You may have tied the game.
I think you tied it early after a couple of turnovers, turnovers.
When you get to 9 and then 11, basically until you get to 20 points, and then you stop scoring. You went, like we said this earlier, on a nearly 10-minute drought where you only scored, it's either 3 or 5 free throws over that 10-minute span, where Iowa State was able to put up a 10-point lead going to half.
As a team, you shot 33%.
Which wouldn't have been...
That's not terrible. I mean, it's not good. You're shooting for the 40s, but then as three-pointers, you were 5 for 23 on three-pointers, 22%.
Yeah. Then if you had held them to your season average for field goal percent, which is 35% first in the NCAA, you shooting 33% wouldn't have been that bad, right? At one point, they were shooting 55%, and you were struggling to hit 30.
Yeah. Went downhill fast.
Yeah. You had that 9-minute stretch in the first half. You had like a 6 or 7 minute stretch in the second half. That's like a third of the game where you're not putting up points. And they're just like, well, if you're not going to score, I will. And Kansas State.
And this is something we've talked about a lot. Just outside of Culver, what options do you have? We thought maybe Moretti or Mooney would emerge, and they did for a couple of games a couple of weeks ago.
I think those two guys combined for what, like 5 points tonight?
They combined for 8.
8.
Mooney had 2. He was 1 for 9. Missed all 4 free three-pointers that he shot.
And Moretti didn't score till late too, right?
I don't believe so. Moretti only had, his only buckets were 2 threes.
And those were
Tariq
late,
Owens had 2 threes. Owens had as many threes as Moretti.
Yeah. So
only 2 guys in double figures were Owens with 12, Culver with 17. Moretti had 6, and then anyone else who scored had 2.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done, especially on the road.
No, and it's one of those things you could kind of see coming in some of this conference play or non-conference play, but Tech would somehow muscle out a win. Their defense would come through. I think Kyle was pointing it out on our Slack chat, something would work in our favor. Moretti would have a monster game. Mooney would have a monster game.
Which is how you won.
We would miss Texas. 1 free throw. Or you know, just something would really just kind of bounce our way. And then when that quits happening, you go 0-3 right after I said that we would win 15 conference games.
You still can.
You still can. You can't lose anymore.
But if you win every single one left on the schedule.
Yep, if you win every single one. So
including sweeping TCU. Sweeping Kansas,
yeah,
because you haven't played either one of them yet. You play Kansas coming up in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, it's next Saturday you play them, which is going to be great.
The second.
This is one of the first times I've been really excited to go to one of my friend's birthday parties because I think he's turning 3. He loves basketball, and so it's
Your friend is turning three.
My friend. You know what I mean. Family.
Sure.
Friend of the... Mm-hmm. Anyway,
he's got 3-year-old.
It's a 3-year-old's birthday party, and they're going to have the game on because that's kind of the big theme is basketball. So they're going to have it during the Kansas game. So that'll be kind of fun.
Well, it'll be on the road, so I don't know if it'll be kind of fun. It might be pretty ugly.
Oh, it may be terrible. It may be really awful. But I think this team has kind of fallen back to where I know Kyle's done some great posts on the BPI ratings, showing Tech coming away with 12 conference wins. I think that's where we're headed if we're lucky. And I don't want to be the sky is falling guy, but at the same point, we should probably adjust our expectations a little bit, because at the beginning of the season, this is probably more of what I expected. I didn't know how the offense was going to produce. I didn't know how we would be able to win games. But then we started playing just lights out defense, and some other things started falling our way. And the next thing you know, your only loss is to Duke as you go into conference play, and you start to kind of...
Started to believe.
Yeah, started to think things a little bit differently, but Tech has been exposed quite a bit in these losses, and our expectations may need to be adjusted accordingly. I still think this is a tournament team. I don't think this will be a Big 12 championship team, but I didn't think that before the season started because we lost so many guys. But it still doesn't mean it's disappointing to have come this far and think that you're on the verge of maybe winning the Big 12 championship. You've seen Kansas go down to Iowa State. You've seen them go down to winless in Big 12 play, West Virginia, who disrespectfully rushed the court like a bunch of hooligans.
How dare they disrespect the game of basketball like that?
I wonder if someone at KU elbowed somebody on the court, because that would just be unacceptable. We can't have that. We should find West Virginia if they got elbowed on the court by a Jayhawk player.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm a little... I'm not worried, but I think we're kind of coming back down to probably where we really should have been.
The seventh in the conference?
Is
that still too low?
No, I don't know about that. you know, that preseason thing, I'll still give that grief because they had West Virginia way up there.
They were like, what, third?
Yeah.
Kansas State was second.
I think it was Kansas, Iowa State, and West Virginia, right?
No. Or TCU. I think it was... Kansas State, TCU.
Well, Kansas,
West Virginia, TCU.
Kansas State is 15-4, just like we are, and they're 5-2 in Big 12 play.
I don't want to hear it.
We're 4-3. I mean, who knows? Someone might have known something. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on it too long and be too negative or too positive or too anything, but this is probably more what we should expect and what we should have expected, but we just went on a really good run.
So I was really excited about the game this upcoming weekend because I called it in my office today as a get-right game because I did not have very much confidence in tonight's game. We were playing a really terrible Arkansas team at home. But if you're scoring 45 points, granted, you play like the second-best defense in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, credit to Kansas State. They have a great defense.
If you're scoring 45 points, then you're not going to win any game.
No. If you're scoring 45 in Big 12 football, you may not win the game.
Yeah. So you've got Arkansas coming up this week in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. A couple of big games. You got Kansas-Kentucky, an 8-9 matchup. That'll be pretty interesting to watch. Tennessee-West Virginia had a lot more shine to this game earlier on in the season, whereas West Virginia's kind of slumped a little bit. I think Tennessee is first currently, second, third, top three.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Excellent. I can't remember the other conference games because I don't really care. But you're playing Arkansas. And then on Monday night, you host TCU. So you've got two home games in 3 days. And then your next game will be Saturday the 2nd at Kansas. So over those three games, are we expecting 0-3, 1-2, 2-1, or 3-0?
I'm going to be slightly optimistic and go with 2-1.
I was going to try to count us down so we can say it together.
Oh, sorry.
1, 2, 2-1.
Oh, my gosh.
2-1.
Oh, wait, do it again.
1, 2.
Peace. Was that it? Okay, no.
We were actually practicing that before we hit record.
I'm thinking we beat Arkansas and TCU. Those are both home games. I don't think we win in Kansas on Saturday. I'm not super confident we beat TCU. I'm really not, but I'm just going out there and saying I'm thinking 2-1.
So the last point here I've got, how much has the Big 12 conference race outlook changed in the last couple of weeks?
It's changed considerably.
Because Kansas State started 0-2. They lost by 20 to Texas at home. And then they came to Lubbock and we beat them by 3 or 5 or whatever ridiculously small amount that we should have housed them.
Then they've rattled off 5 straight.
And now they've won 5 straight. West Virginia picked really highly in the conference. They're 1-5.
1-6.
They lost again. 1-6. With, of course, their one win coming against Kansas.
Makes no sense.
Iowa State, and then your 3-game skid here, you were looking to possibly challenge Kansas for the Big 12 title this year. Unless you figure something out and rattle off 15 straight, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, as of right now, Texas Tech is 4th, 4-3 in the conference, behind Kansas, Kansas State, and Baylor. Baylor's 4-2. And of course they've beaten us.
You should have beaten Baylor. Good gravy. You should have been a lot more competitive tonight too, and that was just disgusting.
And Tech is tied with Iowa State at 4-3. And I'm not sure why. I don't always understand these things. I'm not sure why Iowa State is not in front of them. And this is directly from the Big 12 website, so
yeah, I'm not sure.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So Texas Tech really could be, they're 4th right now, but they very well could be 5th.
Yeah. So
not quite halfway through conference play. And no, there's a lot of stuff that's going to move around.
So it swung wildly this first 7 games. 11 more to go. Yeah, yep. 11 more to go. So you've got some time to make up, some ground to make up. It could swing just as wildly the other direction. Like, man, you know how we saw the swing? Like, oh, look, everything's kind of coming into place where Kansas and Kansas State and Iowa State are kind of taking care of business where they're projected. That could change.
Right.
Although Kansas State's getting pretty hot right now. Dean Wade is back, unfortunately.
Well, and Tech hasn't been able to take advantage of Kansas losing. You know, Kansas lost right before Tech played Baylor. And then Tech lost.
Yeah.
So you just can't even capitalize on that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Tech lost to the same Iowa State team that beat Kansas. And I was kind of thinking, you know, I thought, man, Iowa State may be really good. And of course, they beat us in the end. But they lost 2 in a row, including a 3-point game to Baylor. And I thought, well, that's just crazy. Baylor's not that good. And then here we are. We lost to both of them. Back to back. It's kind of a punch. It's kind of a gut punch. I feel like I haven't used that word in a while because football season has been over for quite some time.
Not that I'm ready for basketball season to be over.
No.
But when the team struggles like this, I really wish we had a second sport going like baseball. You're like, man,
we're getting there.
Let's get to the baseball games this week and get better.
Yeah.
We got 3 weeks. Starts on the 15th, so.
Yeah. Yeah, right at 3 weeks. We're getting
there. All right, let's get to some questions. We are actually moving along, and I really hesitate to read this question because LeBar was the first one that chimed in, and he did it like within a minute or two of me posting the question.
I know what it is.
I'm going to read it verbatim. How awesome is TB12?
Is that like a virus?
You know, I don't know. I actually had to look it up.
Is that one of those things that you... Is it like an experimental aircraft?
Unfortunately, no.
Tango Bravo 1-2-er?
1-2-er. No, of course, he's talking about his Patriots, Tom Brady.
You know, seriously, Mike, Tom Brady's freaking awesome.
Screw Tom Brady.
He's pretty great.
Pat Mahomes for life, baby.
Oh, yeah. Pat, you know, Chiefs fan for life, right here.
Since
1983.
Fan. 1989.
Yeah.
For me.
Established. EST 1983 Chiefs fan. But Tom Brady is something else. The fact that he can just stand there.
And get a penalty call.
Never move
team.
A ball and never move his feet.
It's amazing.
And hit wide open receivers. And they're not even wide open.
Or a defender can breathe on him and get a roughing the passer. It's incredible.
Well, you're not allowed to touch Tom.
Obviously not, because he will bitch and moan anytime somebody walks
touching,
past him.
No touching touchdown Tom. That is
such
rule number one.
The JJ.
And then rule number two is pass interference is legal as long as
you absolutely destroy the receiver.
As long as you're not on the Saints.
Yeah. Cooper Burnett. This is actually an interesting question. Who finishes higher in the Big 12? Track, baseball, or basketball? So basketball, I'm going to go ahead and throw out. I think it's going to be a real tight between track and baseball.
You lost Culver in track. That's kind of my only.
How did you see the guy that this weekend is number one in the NCAA for 200, the 200 meter?
No.
They had the Corky Classic meet this weekend here in Lubbock at the new indoor track. Dude set the NCAA. It's not a record, but he's got the fastest 200 meter time in the country. It's like 20 point something.
I'm looking this up because that's insane. I ran my track career, which was 7th grade and 9th grade, and that was all I could handle. I ran the 200, and the 200 is hard, man. That's a tough race. I think the 400's probably either the 400 or like the 330 hurdles. Those two are probably the hardest. But I'm going to fight for the 200 a little bit, because once you get to a certain level, it's not like you can kind of go 70% and then go 100 the last stretch. You've got to go 100% the whole way. And I was not capable of that, so I was not very good at it. But the fact that we have someone who is, that's really impressive. And I always liked, I'm going to screw it up. Was it Michael Johnson who was kind of the big track athlete in the 90s that was really great in all the Olympics? I just remember watching him and was really impressed with what he was able to do. But I'm trying to find this. Yeah, it is Michael Johnson. Thank goodness. I got that right.
So what's really frustrating about our Texas Tech social media accounts, so they covered the track meet this weekend, and they have a picture of the guy that did it. The only caption under the photo is that number one feeling. Dude, well, give me a name. Give me numbers. Quit jacking around.
Well, and even if you go to the... Whoa, hey. And even if you go to their website, you have to open the PDF to actually determine all of the results. But we've come this far. We're going to find the name of this guy.
This is why we're still on this.
All right, men, 60-meter dash... 200 meter dash.
Was it
Divine
Odudaru?
Odudaru, yeah. 20.18 seconds.
Because he won the national championship last year, surprisingly.
Did you already mention this? He's a freshman. Did you know that?
No, because he competed in the NCAA outdoor. You know what? It may have been like in the early fall.
He's a freshman, according to the official PDF from Texas Tech website. In second place, Andrew Hudson. Let's not forget that. Andrew Hudson, fellow Red Raider, got in second place at 20.42 seconds. We got some fast 200-meter runners.
And I think it was a 400. They were like, I think Tech finished 1, 3, and 4.
Wow.
Good stuff. So, okay, back to the question. Track or baseball, which one finishes higher in the conference?
Let's see.
I can't decide. But because of my heart, my alliances, my allegiance, I'm going baseball.
I think I'm going to go with track.
You think they're going to... You know what? No.
Because they won the Big 12 last year, right?
They're both going to tie and win the conference.
Oh.
So, suck it. All right. I win.
I'm saying track.
Okay. Red Reset, man. I have two youngins. I want to take them to a baseball game this year. Any suggestions on where to sit? Which will be a good game to take them to? Other general suggestions. Okay. So, you're going to want to sit... You can go a little bit up the third base side, and by a little bit, I mean like batter's box. Like, you can't go very far up the third base side. Come there, come back around home plate, and then all the way down first base side. Those seats will be in the shade first. So for the young ones, not being super hot and burned out, that'll be good to keep them there a little bit longer. The higher you go, the closer you'll be to the awning. So you'll be in the shade first. The closer you are to the field, the more interactive you can be with the players, but you're going to be in the shade later. So you got to trade that off. Which will be a good game to take them to? Really, any of the conference games will be good. There'll be some good non-conference series, like against Kentucky.
Yeah,
early
I was about
on.
To say Kentucky sounds pretty good. That's
the second series.
Yeah, that's February 22nd.
It's going to be cold.
3rd and 4th. Yeah. So it could be. I mean, it was 74 degrees yesterday. Who knows?
Yeah. Other general suggestions.
Michigan. Michigan's coming through in March. March 21st, 22nd, 23rd. That would be a bigger program to check out.
Sneak in your own sunflower seeds.
That's true. Pro tip.
If you sit on the bleachers, see if you can bring in a stadium seat, some cushion.
I haven't been to a whole lot of baseball
Always
games.
Always bring a glove. Don't get too lulled into the atmosphere of being at a baseball game. Because in a college stadium, if you're at Tech and if you're on the first base side, you are in the direct path of a lot of line drives.
The line of fire.
From right-handed batters that you'll like. You will see their face as they're batting. So they'll be on the third base side when they're batting. If they swing at a ball and they're a little bit late, that ball's coming right at you. There were several times when I was sitting on that side, was not really paying attention. It's also really hard to gauge, like trying to track a ball, having not seen it come off the bat, to track where it's going and how fast it's moving. So bring your glove. Pay attention and sneak in sunflower seeds. Although the concessions will be cheaper, sunflower seeds will not. That's what I got for you. Is that it? Is that all of our questions this week?
Yeah.
Man, are we done at 1:06? What is this?
This is short.
We have to fill the next 30 minutes with what we learned.
We have to. We're contractually obligated to fill in the next 30 minutes for our sponsors.
What we learned this week, I learned some really devastating news. You ready?
Yeah. What?
My truck is dead.
Oh, that's right.
Not really dead. It's devastating.
The dream is dead.
Because I think, so it has.
You've had it almost exactly a year.
Yeah, it has a blown head gasket. Here's what's really devastating. I think I bought it that way.
You've been driving it this whole time like that?
Mm-hmm.
How is it still managing to function?
Because it's not that bad. Because here's the thing. Most blown head gaskets, you've got like smoke pouring out of the exhaust. It's got a real like sweet or sour smell. I mean, it's an older truck. So when it's running and you're like next to the exhaust, you can smell exhaust, right? But I was actually showing the truck last night to somebody. I was showing him the exhaust. Like there was no smoke coming out. There was no like weird smell. So I went to go change the oil this weekend. Cause I was like, it's time. I'm going to go and do it myself. Popped open the oil cap under the engine. And I was like, I was met with the most disappointing scene of a yellow froth. It's like, oh no, that's not what's supposed to be in the oil. And I knew it immediately. It was like, this oil cap's really hard to get off because it was pressurized, because there was air leaking out from the engine. It's like, it wasn't running, but the stuff had gotten in there and kind of pressurized it a little bit. Yeah, that was really sad.
If I had a hat, I would remove it and place it across my chest.
Womp, womp, womp.
Well, I hate to hear that. Hopefully you can.
Well, here's the thing.
If anyone wants to buy the...
I do have a prospective buyer.
Yeah, if anyone wants to buy the 23 Personnel Mobile, it is for sale.
The Red Dragon, a.k.a. Mushu.
Ah, that's what I used to call mine. I had a little red Mazda. I called it the Red Dragon.
Yeah. Well, mine's got a little snarly lip because there was some front-end damage from the previous owner.
Yep.
Here's the thing. When I bought it, I just gone through and like looked at, okay, how do you do a quick roadside inspection of a used car that you're buying from a private party? I did the same thing. I tried to open up the oil cap. I couldn't get it off, but the engine was running when I was doing it. I was like, well, maybe that's why. And I was being watched like really closely by the owner, and it felt really strange.
Oh yeah. That would be kind of weird.
So then I just kind of stuck my head under the truck and looked at the exhaust, and I didn't see anything. I was like, well, if there's a blown head gasket, it's going to be rolling smoke. No. The other possible thing is that the electronics on the truck aren't like super reliable, especially the gauge cluster. They will sometimes, like the oil pressure gauge will not be working, or sometimes it'll say like the ABS light will come on, but like the brakes are brand new. It's got plenty of power of brake fluid. So it's possible it overheated and I didn't know it because the gauges weren't working.
Yeah.
I have recently replaced the water pump because it was leaking a little bit. It wasn't like dry. Replaced the radiator because it was leaking a little bit and it wasn't dry. Other most frustrating thing is I've had 3 or 4 oil changes, and this truck has been in the shop a lot for a bunch of like little things. Not one of these people has said a thing about it.
They never noticed it. They either
didn't notice it, but when you get an oil change, because I notice it as soon as I open the cap. I've had several oil changes at Bolton's. They've never said a thing. I was like, guys, you do this all the time. Like, maybe you just assume I already know. And like, I just don't want to hear that really bad news.
No, they would tell me stuff. Cause I drove my, I had an 11-year-old truck. I drove, till just a few years ago. And they would tell me some stuff. If something was kind of weird, I would think they would tell me. Yeah. I know there were a couple times. I think I was running a little bit too, I think I was running 10W30 when I should have been running like 5W30. And so it was getting a little gunky coming out, and they were telling me that. I'm like, oh, great. And they recommended an engine cleaner, and I thought, nah, I've read too many bad things about that. I'm worried that's going to dislodge something that needs to just stay where it is. That's my dad in me. He's like, if it's running now, just leave it alone. Just don't. Yeah, but what if? No, don't touch it. It's fine.
So, yeah, I learned that on Saturday. Actually, fairly quickly went ahead and decided, you know, I'm not going to mess with this. This is the second vehicle we've had blow ahead gasket. I don't know if it happened when I was driving or when I bought it like this, but it's been driving the past couple of days just fine. So it's like, well, maybe it has been the entire time that I've had it.
Will you be in the market for another pick 'em up truck out here in pickup country?
I would really like to. Here's the thing. We have more money now than we did when I bought it. But now I feel like really hesitant to spend a lot of money on a vehicle.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very expensive, but I put as much money into repairs over this year as I did on the purchase price.
I would say at
least. So now I'm like, I'm supposed to be meeting the buyer tomorrow to hand him keys and all that kind of stuff. He's met it. He's met it. He's seen it. We've talked about it. He's driven it.
He knows about the mechanical issue, of course.
Yeah. Well, and also like, hey, here's the things I've done. I've worked on. It's a 15-year-old truck.
Yeah.
It's got a ton of miles on it. It's
going to have some issues here and there.
Yeah. He said he wants to use it as a work truck. I was like, you do you, bro. And then I think we're gonna take that cash, hold it until refund season, see if we get any extra bump there, and then start shopping.
Get you one of those Chevrolet High Countries, or just, you know, something, just something to get you from A to B. $65,000-$75,000 pickup.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing anything like that.
Nothing like that?
No.
Okay. All right.
What'd you learn?
They probably
week?
Get you a good deal. I learned two things. I learned that Flatland Cavalry, I knew they were putting out a new album pretty soon.
And I'm assuming it's a band.
It's a great band. And I just happened to go online on Friday. I went to Amazon actually, because I thought, I'm just going to pre-order this thing because I know I'm going to buy it. And that was the day it came out. So what a surprise. So I got to download it right then.
What a coincidence.
And I've been listening to it ever since. And if you guys like Texas country, this is the stuff for you. These guys are great. I'm not like super knowledgeable on band members, but I think they've got a new fiddle player, and no offense to the previous fiddle player, she was great too, but I think this new one is he's taking it up a notch. He's really great. A lot of great intros and on this album. Come Back Down's probably my favorite.
You said this is Flatland?
Flatland Cavalry.
Cavalry.
And Flatland. I really like Years From Now. That's the final track on the album. Honey Wine is good. They released that as a single a few months ago. They will actually be in Lubbock at Charlie B's, I believe, February 8th or 9th. Anyway, great band. Check them out. I think they're going to be at Cotton Fest, which...
What was your favorite one? I'm sorry.
Come Back Down. That's the track number one's the first one. Are you going to try to play some of it?
I'm going to see what we can do.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be crazy. What's this guy up to over there? Just going to play a little sample.
I'm going to try.
This is my influencer status right here. I'm trying to influence you guys to check out some of this music.
Okay, we have an ad playing, so give me 1 second.
Okay, we'll let that move on.
Wait, hold on. There's a button here. Well, I don't have the fingers to do skip ad and hit the unmute button.
It's just too much going on. That's it.
What's okay. That twang?
It's great, man. You're sad for sunrise, and won't you get on
over here? I run and wrap my arms around you. So, Flatland Cavalry.
Let it kick in real quick before you fade it out. Hell, I can't get out of this chair. There's the fiddle. Yeah, get you some of that, guys. That's the first song you'll hear if you download that album.
All right, what's number two?
Number two is...
The second thing you learned.
The second thing I learned is Peter Jackson of...
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings fame. Made King Kong, I believe. The Hobbit. Bunch of big movies. Peter Jackson can make one hell of a World War I documentary. Keith had talked about this.
I need to see this.
You do need to see this. It's called They Shall Not Grow Old. It's currently in theaters. I saw it through Fathom Events at Movie 16 here in Lubbock. They had just done a couple of showings on Monday. And I went Monday evening, packed theater. People were on the edge of their seat. Everybody was quiet. It was... I really don't want to spoil it. And it sounds dumb to say spoil a documentary, but... The way they use the footage and the glimpse of the type of war that these guys endured is something that you haven't seen before. And hat tip to Keith, host of Dinger Derby, @Dinger_Derby on Twitter. Anyway, hat tip to Keith for kind of making me more aware of this documentary. He got to see it over Christmas break, I believe. And then I happened to see that it was playing in Lubbock. And bought my ticket at the second I saw that. So I got to see that Monday night, which was really great. And then almost as interesting is about a 30-minute little featurette that Peter Jackson hosts after the credits, talking about how he made the documentary and choices he made during it that really enhance it and make it even that much more interesting. So it almost makes you want to watch it again after he tells you that. So if you can find it, try to see They Shall Not Grow Old. You might check fathomevents.com, and I'm sure it'll be available on streaming and whatnot at some point.
What's really fascinating, one, this is, 100-year-old footage.
Yes. Yeah, every
and
bit
And it's
of.
Been, like, beautifully restored. Like, it looks, it's still a little old, but it looks much better than you would expect.
Extremely.
Looks so good.
And just the, like I say, I don't want to spoil it, but the way they do it and other things that they add to the footage. I mean, you know, we're not talking like George Lucas over here adding Yoda in, you know, later on. We're not talking that type of stuff, but just other things that they add to the documentary itself to really enhance that footage is really incredible. So check that out if you can. If you're any sort of history buff, you'll enjoy it. It's a tough watch at times, and it's meant to be because it's not, you know, war's not pretty, and what these guys endured, it's got to be one of the most brutal wars that were fought, especially in just in modern history. So check that out. Who knew that Peter Jackson? I'm being very sarcastic. Who knew that Peter Jackson could direct a good film? and he's also you find out at the end that he's a very big World War I buff just on his own.
Well, you'd have to make a film for it, right?
I would think so. You can't just come into it blindly. I mean, I would make a terrible World War I film because I just don't know that much about it. But Jackson has a real passion for it, and they go through some of his memorabilia and some of the stuff he has that they actually used in unique ways to create this film. So,
all right,
that's what I learned.
To send us out, we're gonna listen to a little bit more of "Come Back Down."
That'll work.
We have to. Sorry, it was a lot. It wasn't as subtle as I wanted to be. Alright.
It's a perfect place to do your outro.
For Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks everybody for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast. We will see you again next week.